Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. My next guest filed a lawsuit challenging the individual mandate before the president's signature was dry. And in the ensuing year, about half the states united to challenge that mandate. I'm talking about Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General of Virginia. He joins me now. Hello, Mr. Attorney General. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing okay. Mixed.
Yeah, mixed. You know, I sort of got that from you a little while ago. Of course, nothing happened today. all right. Initially this morning, you claimed it was a really dark day for America, but now you've kind of backed off, and I'm assuming you, like others, have gotten to see a little more of what the court did relating to health care, right?
Yeah, our first reaction was primarily based on the fact that the law still stood, and all the various ways we would have expected, or most likely ways we would have expected the court to maintain it. And in fact, the way they came to keep the law in place, as much as they did, it isn't all there, was rather surprising, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
The most threatening aspect of the law constitutionally was the use of the Commerce Clause to compel us to buy products.
Right.
And the court held, it wasn't just dicta, they held that that is unconstitutional, that the federal government doesn't have that power. And they explicitly stated outer limits on the Commerce Clause for the first time since the New Deal. They went on, also for the first time since the New Deal, to put outer limits on the spending power of the federal government. So, you know, Virginia got in this to rein in the federal government's unconstitutional overreach, and in the areas of the Commerce Clause and the Spending Clause, the court accommodated that, and we succeeded in that sort of restraint put in place now. The way they did it while keeping the law in place was to find that the penalty you have to pay, the amount of money you have to pay if you do not buy their government-chosen health insurance, is constitutionally speaking a tax.
Right.
And even that was parsed quite a bit by the Chief Justice, who said that if it was basically, if there was an enforcement mechanism, if they could send you to jail, he wouldn't have found it to be a tax. If they could, meaning if you don't pay it, if mm-hmm. they could, if the amount was close to what it would cost to buy insurance, he would have called it a penalty and not a tax. So this is a very quarantined basis on which the Chief Justice in particular allowed for the fifth vote to uphold the statute.
Yeah. Yeah, and that had to be a shocker in and of itself. When I heard the name John Roberts as the guy who was number five, I kind of did a double take looking at the TV this morning. Sorry, are you kidding me? But I guess it really shouldn't have been too much of a surprise, because he was the person who turned the corner on Arizona earlier in the week when it came to immigration.
Well, yeah, that's quite true. And for all of the hyperbole, mostly out of the media class, about how awful everything was going to be in June because everything would be this 5-4 Republican-Democrat appointee lineup, almost nothing lined up that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right.
Almost nothing lined up that way.
Yeah. My guest is Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General of Virginia. I want to take you in a slightly different direction here. Some confusion over the state's powers when it comes to Medicaid. Now, if I read this correctly, you can't be forced to expand your program in your state, and you cannot be penalized by the federal government if you don't, right?
Correct, and that was a big, big deal. From the state government standpoint, just take Virginia, what I know best.
Right.
The fact that our Medicaid dollars can't be held over our head when we make the decision whether to engage in this massive expansion of Medicaid that's included in the federal health care bill, that's the stick they had. I mean, it's budgetarily very difficult to see how Virginia would go forward if we weren't risking our Medicaid dollars, and now the court says you don't have to. So this is going to be made strictly on the merits, and effectively Virginia made this decision a long time ago by not expanding its Medicaid program in this way. So while the decision hasn't been made yet by Governor McDonnell and the legislature, I would be quite astonished if Virginia were to go forward with that sort of a massive expansion. And for Virginia, that's along the lines of almost $200 million a year
right.
in impact. assuming the federal cost estimates are right, and of course they never are.
Okay, exactly, and that's what I was going to get at that next. You know, how much is this ultimately going to cost us down the road? I don't think anyone knows that. I heard the president today at the end of his speech regarding this. He said, look, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, we're going to look back and see that we made the right decision. I'm not really sure about that. Are you?
Well, I think the court's constitutional decision won't be too terribly questioned. I mean, I don't appreciate the breadth of the definition of a tax, but no congressman or senator will ever be able to say ever again if there's a potential for a penny to be raised because you do or don't do something in a piece of legislation. They can't hide, as they did in this one, and say, well, it's not a tax. Oh, yes, it is. And the reason that's so important from a perspective of accountability is that is the power that voters have most paid attention to. And this whole cockamamie scheme that they put in place for the health care bill was, one way to look at it is the whole thing was simply intended to avoid a tax vote.
Yeah. All right. Do you believe this becomes a big factor for the November election, keeping in mind that in 2010, health care played a major role in bringing in quite a few Republicans?
Yeah. Well, and it's going to play a major role the next 4 months and a week, and that's one thing that flows out of this. And it's interesting. Take the sort of constitutional conservative perspective. Forget Republicans for the moment. People in the Tea Party or Ron Paul folks, exemplify this. People who are just absolutely motivated by protecting the Constitution. Well, the Constitution was pretty well protected here today. The federal government's power under the Constitution was reined in two different ways here, constitutionally, and then they were exposed, they as the legislature and the president, were exposed to the accountability of the voters much more purely and cleanly under the taxing power than ever before. They're never going to be able to hide like they did and sort of duck and weave as they did to pass this bill ever again. Mm. So there are a lot of things for those folks to be happy about, but I put myself in the group of folks first concerned about the Constitution, but then next you think about the deficit and the debt, and this is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
This is a disaster. And how do you deal with questions like that? Well, you deal with them in elections.
Yep, that's for sure.
Deal with them in elections. And politically, this will help Mitt Romney. This isn't a win for America or anybody else. But people are going to be a lot more motivated to help Mitt Romney, to help George Allen, to help candidates who are committed to repealing this, to slowing up the spending. And that's going to have a major impact in the elections. Mm-hmm. It'll take a little while to develop, but it's coming. It's coming, and it's going to come furiously, I think.
Yep. On the presidential level, Virginia has been a tough state for Mitt Romney, although it appears he's making a little bit of headway. Maybe now this will be enough to put him over the top?
Well, I don't want to say this will or won't be the deciding factor, but I certainly think that it's going to play a role now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very motivating to a lot of people who don't necessarily view themselves as Republican. These are independents who are very concerned about the direction of our country and our balance sheet and whether or not we can stay solvent. And those folks are going to be pushed toward Mitt Romney, and they're going to be pushed towards George Allen in Virginia. And I have no doubt about that. That part of the battle begins today.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, I know you're a very busy man. I appreciate you taking some time this afternoon. It's always good to talk to you, and have a good night. And I'm sure by tomorrow we'll know even more about this health care ruling by the Supreme
Court.
Well,
you know, with 193 pages of opinion, it can be a little bit like the speaker's then speaker said about the health care bill. Now that we've passed it, we can find out what's in it. And that accounts for a bit of our evolution in terms of our initially more negative reaction to the opinion. This Supreme Court has clearly saddled America with a terrible debt and deficit in the area of health care, and a terrible health care policy that's already broken so many of the promises associated with the bill in the first place. But the Constitution comes out of this really in pretty good shape, and with two more restraints on federal government power.
Yep, and I guess you have to take that as the big positive of the day. All right, great to talk to you again. Thank you.
Absolutely, good to talk to you.
See ya. Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General of Virginia.